Hello and welcome to the Advanced Age Roleplay Gamers Podcast. I'm Nathan. I'm your host today, and I've got with me Thomas Herrenstam from Freely Publishing. Hello, Thomas. How are you doing today?
Hi there. I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Flying solo today. Matt could not make it, but I will muddle through this on my own. So we're here to talk about the new Kickstarter for the Invincible TTRPG. But as I like to do, I like to touch on some of the other things that are going on right now. First off, I got my my Vason books a couple days ago.
Very nice.
And looking through those, so if you backed that, you should expect those any time now. Read through a lot of City of Nightmares. I like the kind of new organization for how the mysteries are done. But yeah. Do you have anything to add about the Vason books?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, they're being fulfilled right now. So if you didn't get them, you should get them very soon. So they're on their way. But yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, especially for City of My Nightmares, which I co-wrote. We did a lot of work on how to structure mysteries better, hopefully, a bit clearer, with a bit different of an organization. It's still the same, but we did do some work on sort of fine-tuning the way mysteries are built.
Yeah, there's a new core and peripheral clues.
Clues. Yeah, that's actually in the core book, but we're calling it out now in the adventures and the mysteries. Yeah, exactly. You're like little dots, so you can see. Especially there's one mystery in that book that's quite complex, and then we figured sort of calling out which clues are really core or crucial to actually manage and go through the entire mystery, and which ones are peripheral that can be helpful but not crucial to actually reach the end.
Yeah, so I really like that addition. It's nice when you're flipping through the book, just like, okay, I need to really pay special attention to that. So I do like that. So how are the Blade Runner and Alien fulfillments coming along?
Yeah, I mean, they're coming along. Alien is on the boat, on several boats, actually, arriving, within a week or two. The one to the US seems to be, I don't know, for some reason taking the longest this time. It sort of varies, but we should have it by the middle of October, around the middle of October, and then fulfillment will start. So hopefully fulfillment will happen during, start before the end of October. So in about a month, we should start seeing Alien backers get their things.
Beautiful.
Yeah, so that's going to be another big delivery. For Blade Runner, we're finishing up just now before this interview, got like a complete book PDF, beta PDF of the Replicant Rebellion book from the graphic designer. We've been working on it in the last couple of weeks quite intensively. So I'm going to look through that, then that goes to our licensor who will have a look, and then we'll share it with backers, which will hopefully happen very soon. And once backers have had a chance to look at it as well, we'll go to print, and then print and ship and fulfill. But it seems like that probably backers won't have the book in their hand until closer around the end of the year, since it takes some time to print and ship these things.
And who knows how shipping is going these days. Well, terrific. Thanks for the updates there. Let's just dive right into Invincible. I guess my first kind of the burning question is it's a two-parter. Why a superhero game? And number two, why the Invincible IP?
Yeah. I mean, there are some answers to both of them. Personally, I've been wanting to do a superhero game for a very long time. It's one of those things. One of my very, very first RPGs was the Marvel Superheroes game from the TSR. That was like my very first non-Swedish RPG. When I actually found out American games, American RPGs, like the first games I found in the first sort of game shop that I was in, I was like 11 or 12 or something, and before then I'd only seen the Swedish RPGs, which you could find in toy stores. But then I actually found a real hobby shop with actual RPGs from all over the world, and primarily from America, obviously, and England. So then I was a big comic book fan and Marvel fan. So the Marvel Superheroes game was sort of, you know, a very early RPG love of mine, and I really like that. I think it stands up very well, that old game. We actually played it now a couple of months ago during the design work for Invincible, because I wanted to have some of the same feel as in that old Marvel superheroes game by TSR. So that's always been on my mind, that it would be very cool to do that at some point. And then why Invincible? Actually, I was not that familiar with Invincible before we started working on the project. I had heard of it, but I was not really familiar with it. I didn't actually read the comic when it came out, and I only got sort of wind about the animated series when that started going. So that was actually the main reason for that. The driving force behind Invincible was actually Adam Bradford, who is my co-writer for the game, who's doing the lore stuff and the adventure stuff and lots of other things as well. We're really working together on this one. He's like a huge Invincible fan and has been so since the very first comic book issue came out like 20 years ago. And he's been sort of, you know, wanting to do a game based on that franchise. And he pitched that to me a couple of years ago at Gen Con, I think. Because just a combination of doing a superhero game and then specifically Invincible. And I was sort of, you know, looked into it and he pitched it really well. And then I started looking into it more closely. And then I figured this would be a great fit, because it is a superhero game with all the classic tropes of that genre. But it's also a bit grimmer, a bit quirkier, yeah, and bloodier.
Violent.
And more violent. But also it's so I think it turns some of the tropes on its head and it does things. So I felt that would work well with the way we do our games, which are sort of sometimes fairly deadly and brutal and fast. And we just felt this is a good fit for the Eurozero engine specifically. So that was another part of it. And then a third factor is the fact that the Invincible comic book is published by Skybound Entertainment. And we have already had a partnership with them for the Electric State role-playing game, because they are the publisher of some of Simon Stollenhag's art books. So among them, the Electric State art book. So we partnered up with them. They are our licensor for the Electric State RPG. So we already knew them and knew that they're good people and we work well together. So it also made it easy to approach them about Invincible. So I guess that's sort of the fairly long answer to that question.
No, that's a good answer. We talked about some of the games you played when you were young, but we hadn't talked about Marvel before. I played a ton of different superhero games in high school. My neighbor, he was not allowed to play Dungeons and Dragons because of you know, the whole Satanic Panic thing. So we started playing with Champions. That's kind of always been my gold standard. But that's a lot of it's. I don't know how I made so many characters when I was like 15, 16, because it's we tried playing a couple years ago and it's hard. It's hard to make a character, but I still have a lot of fun with the game. We did play the Marvel phase rep in college with the folks that I'm on the podcast with, and had a lot of fun with that. And you're right, it really does stand up even now. Super fun. When we get into the changes that you made to adapt your Zero Engine to a superhero game, I got to call this out. Fighting, agility, strength, reason, intuition, presence. You're missing the E there.
So. I know. Yeah. That is, I mean, that's a big nod, obviously, to the mystery game, the original Marvel game. So, we didn't initially intended to be quite that similar, but then we tweaked the names of the attributes and we ended up with something and we just felt, well, let's just do it because
why not?
So sort of what we did.
I love little things like that you can do when you're designing your own game. So and just like the levels of when you have kind of the good, incredible, amazing, extraordinary, that's definitely still a nod too. So Yeah, I was really, when this was announced, I don't know, it was 6 months ago or earlier than that, I was like, wow, how are they going to do superheroes, the Year Zero engine? And yeah, the first thing I did when I opened up the Quick Start, so if you guys haven't didn't know, but if you look, go to the Invincible Kickstarter page, they have a link, a drive-through link to the a Quick Start. It's like a fully playable Quick Start for the game for free. And I saw six stats. So I, right off the bat, was the driving feature for going from the normal four stats I'm used to with the Year Zero engine games to six?
Yeah, right. I mean, this has been a bit of a process. I think we've been having some ideas. I mean, the original, or the sort of the way we've been doing the Year Zero engine games from the start have been like, normally, I mean, it's been four attributes and then usually like three skills per attribute. Right. You sort of tie those together. And then you have another layer with talents, like a third level of things that you sort of that do more specific things. And that works well. But we felt that in some games, it's not ideal, perhaps. And the reason we felt it in this particular one is that in the superhero game, obviously, you have powers, and powers will be key to the game. But the way we sort of approach things generally, and this is no exception, is that when you sort of add something in a game design mechanic, you have to take something away, because if you just add things, you just get more complexity with no real gain. So we felt that removing skills made sense. So instead focusing on the attributes, powers and talents, and that really is enough. You don't need like skills in there as well. And that's why we sort of reframed that a little bit. We had a similar discussion. Actually, the new Coriolis game does a similar thing. We've been sort of tinkering with this idea of going further with attributes and removing skills in other games as well. So that was like but here the main reason was that we bring powers into the mix, and then something else had to sort of go to not overly make the game too cumbersome to use. So that's like the main reason. But then we also increased the number of attributes to six. Talents have a bit more oomph, I guess, a bit more. And then, of course, you get powers in there that sort of are very important for the gameplay.
Now, I've been playing a few more kind of lighter, more OSR-style games now, and I kind of also think, and you can let me know what your thoughts on this, I kind of also think that once you take out the skills, it kind of makes you think a little bit more, like, what does my character want to accomplish, instead of, we all fall into this of okay, let me look at my character sheet and see what I can do.
Yeah.
And if you don't have the skill there as well, I can't do that. So mm-hmm. I think, and with a game like this where you want to be kind of fast and loose with the play, I do see some personal benefit to kind of pulling the skills out of there and letting the players figure it out, what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, and that's also another thing for, I think, a good superhero game, and I think specifically maybe Invincible as the source material, that the personal things are very important. And that's why we also put that front and center in this game. You have a personality, a drive, a flaw, key relationships, so sort of that social part of each character is really important. So that's also something we wanted to increase the focus on, maybe in this game in particular. And then it makes sense to sort of dial down or remove other things.
Now I see you've added drawbacks as well, and that's kind of a key feature in a lot of hero games. Like every hero has their weakness, or their flaw, their drawback. So can you talk a little bit about that design decision?
Yeah, I mean, there's two things. There's drawbacks, which are part of sort of power. So they're sort of the opposite of talents and powers, that they have specific things in your in your character that are mechanically sort of limiting or something. Then you have a flaw, which is on the personal side. That's more of a personality flaw. So those are actually the two different things. But the drawbacks specifically are things that can, for example, like Monster Girl, who's sort of a Hulk-type character. She transforms into a big green monster, basically. And then the transformation itself is a drawback because she only has her full powers when she is in the monster form. Whereas right. then, so that's sort of a drawback. And that's one way to get like specific things like that, like a character that needs to transform to gain their powers. Then you get a bonus point to add somewhere else as a, you know, to compensate. But then okay. that's one example of a drawback that you can have in the game.
So drawbacks, that kind of leads me into character creation a little bit, because you're talking about you know, points. So yeah. how are characters, like if you don't want to play or if you want to build your own characters to bring into this universe or your own universe, can you kind of walk through a little bit about character creation?
Yeah, sure. I mean, obviously this is set in the Invincible universe, but the idea is, I think that's one reason this is a good franchise to use, because I always felt one issue I had with the initial Marvel game and all of the Marvel RPGs is that there are so many iconic characters in there and they're very cool. And of course you want to play them, but then it sort of limits you in what you can do, because you can't really develop your own character, because it's very hard to make Wolverine or someone your own, because it sometimes feels like you're playing a caricature of that character that you've seen so many times in comic books or in films or whatever. So it's harder to, of course, in the Marvel game, I guess you can make your own character, but it doesn't quite feel the same, because you're those iconic characters sort of in the way in a sense. And I think in the original game, you basically, I think there was an advanced box where you could make your own characters, but that was never really, I think that the idea was that you would play existing characters. And I think for the new Marvel game, I think it's also, you can make your own, but I think, you know, it's very much based on playing the known characters. I think Invincible has, of course, some iconic characters like Invincible itself and some others, but I think since it's a less known universe and less explored, it leaves more room for original characters, which is one of the draws, I think, of setting it in this universe, is that it opens the world up and it's easier to create your own characters, and they feel more of a natural fit in there. So yeah, that's definitely a big part of, and we want this game to work. You can use it to play in other universes as well, and other, you don't, I mean, you can you create your own or place it in some other universe that you enjoy as well. That's sort of one part of this game, is that it should also work as a superhero engine of it, you know, generally. It's not only for Invincible, even though of course Invincible is the core setting. You can play in others. But yeah, to create heroes, it's fairly straightforward. Basically, you get a number of points. So it's a point by system. There are actually something we call ranks, and they're not like levels necessarily, but they are basically starting levels. You have, there's like four of them. You can, and that's sort of the level of the campaign you want to be playing. You have the lowest one is the teen upstart. You're just discovering your powers. You're very fresh. Then there is the street defender level, which is like Daredevil style. You're sort of more on the street level. And then you have global guardian, which is like, I guess the default is that you're fairly high power doing, you know, big epic superhero stuff, but you're still fairly, I mean, you're not like beyond. And then, because the final level is the cosmic champion, and those are the heroes that go out into, you know, the farthest reaches of space and do all of that. That's sort of, that's your Thor or whatever. I mean, you're sort of on that level, but then, yeah. So anyway, you have those four ranks, and the rank decides your how many attribute points you get starting the game, and how many powers you get, and also the ceiling, sort of how high your starting attributes can go. And then you basically spend those points on your attributes, and then you get to choose a number of powers. But you can also exchange those between each other, so you can actually have an extra power, but then you'll have to reduce your attributes by 2 points. And the other way around, you can sort of remove one power and get higher, even higher attributes. So it's actually a more of a a bit more intricate points by system than I guess we have in other Year Zero games. But it's it's just got some more sense. You get powers in there. It's a bit more complicated, but it's a point point by system basically.
Okay, and you probably, depending on which of those four levels, you have a certain number of drawbacks that you can take to get.
Yeah, drawbacks is basically if you choose a drawback, you get one or two extra points to spend on powers or talents or attributes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and I'm sure if folks have played a lot of different systems, they've run into that kind of thing before. Or you're.
It is a fairly complex thing. It's something we tinkered with quite a bit, and of course the quick start is still a work in progress. So we're also looking forward to feedback on that. So yeah, so one of the tricky things is that you want some powers are just, I mean, the way we solved it is some powers they make more sense. Either you have them or you don't. They're not sort of ranked. But then some other powers really need to have a range of levels. So that's the way it works now. You have some powers that are sort of have levels, and that you can see that in the quick start. That, for example, Monster Girl has major protection, and that means that's one better than just normal level protection. And then you can have massive, and then monstrous is like the top level of the power. Okay. And then of course each increasing your power level will also cost some of the creation points that you get from the start. So that's sort of how it works.
Okay. So I guess so. One of the things when you're using point buy and you have kind of different power ranks, I guess there's some balance issues with some games, because with Champions especially, because it's so sophisticated, it was, if you really knew the rules really well, you could break the system and make it kind of a, you know, super powerful, unbeatable character if you knew how to abuse it. I guess that's one thing. Have you thought about that and how?
Yeah, no, definitely. And that's something we realized early on, that this is a real challenge. And what probably the biggest challenge of creating this game is that balancing powers is tricky. We feel we're on the right track, but there will be tweaks needed and balancing things needed. One issue, and that's actually not only superhero games, but I guess it's perhaps even more of an issue, is that whether you focus entirely on sort of combat-focused powers, how to balance that against powers that are not used in combat, like detection type powers, transformation, I mean other things that are not really combat related, but you still have to sort of get them in the mix, and that can be a challenge. Of course, to some degree it's a choice. If you want to have a character that does other things, that can be useful too. It's not only a game about combat, but obviously action scenes and combat is a big part of the game, so that is a challenge. And of course, I don't think that stated anywhere, but all of the characters in the quick start, I mean the pre-generated characters that you can play, except Invincible himself, all of the five that you can choose to play are created using the character creation rules. So they are not, we haven't just picked things. We have actually used the rules of the game to create them. So they are created using the rules. I think Invincible himself, and they are at the Global Guardian level, which is like the default level. I think Invincible himself is more on higher than that. He's sort of a bit higher status because he's in the comics and everything. He's like more powerful than the others. Yeah. But the other five are created using the rules. So you can sort of see what a character will look like once you've created it by looking at the pre-gens.
Okay. And I did notice that once the Kickstarter ends, you'll be delivering a beta to the backers, which I think is nice. And you take feedback for a certain period of time on that as people play test it, which I think it's great. I always love getting the stuff early and just getting the pick through and say, okay, well, this is different. This is new. This is, I'm not sure how this works. So I do appreciate that. Talking about combat, you touched on combat for a second there. There's I see a lot of the comics, tropes that I'm used to, there are these stunts. So I'm going to ask about talk about stunts a little bit. But one thing I do want to, I don't know if this is a stunt, but wreck a zone, which is looking for. And when I play Super Gips, I love using things like cars or lampposts or something as an additional weapon. But if you can talk about the stunt system a little bit, I think that'd be interesting.
Absolutely. Wrecking a zone is not a stunt specifically, but it's definitely part of combat. I can touch on that as well. No, stunts are really core to the combat system, and that really is where we get the sort of superhero into the game and the feel of that. And so the stunts are, I mean, we have stunts in other games as well, or bonus effects, and basically they work the same as in other Year Zero games. If you roll more than 1-6, you can spend them on stunts. But I think the difference here is that stunts are, there's more of them and they're more effective. So basically if you get a stunt or two, you can really do some serious damage, and you can attack again. You can knock someone back, send someone flying, you can stun them. You can also use them to save like bystanders in trouble in your area. And so you can do, the stunts are really part, much more than in other Year Zero games, I think they're really part of playing the game. And they are really what makes you become super heroic. I mean, just a detail, is that one small thing is that normally in other games is that if you hit with an attack, you do the base damage, and then you can do like 1 point of more damage for each extra 6 you roll. Here, you sort of, each extra 6 will basically do the base damage again. So if your base damage is 3 or 4, you get 2 6s, you'll do, 8. I mean, so you do a lot more damage, which will sort of change the way the whole thing feels. And it means that if you have a, roll a lot of dice and you have a high base damage, you will do a lot of damage in a way that you don't in other Year Zero games. So that's really where the high-powered superhero factor really comes in, and the other stunts also. So that's something we really encourage players to try out. There's also, we have a rules reference sheet in the quick start, which has the stunts listed, just so that you don't sort of miss them and forget about them, because if you do, you're not really playing the game as intended. So I think that's sort of important. About wrecking a zone, that's something, I mean, it's such a big part of superhero games that you sort of throw a bus at someone or whatever. And that we needed to do that. And we tried, and we had lots of different ideas. We had ideas of sort of using something similar to Dragonbane, where there's improvised weapons. So you sort of place specific things in specific zone. Like here, there is a, something that you can throw or so. But then we figured it doesn't quite work, because it should be in, if you're in a big city, like urban area or something, there should be things to throw everywhere. So it doesn't really make sense to just nail it down to like, there's a car in this particular, there should be cars everywhere. So that's why we developed this other concept of wrecking a zone. And that basically means in the zone you're in, if you just sort of trash it, you pull something, you grab a light pole or a car or anything and just use that to attack, you get some bonuses. You get 2+2 extra dice, you can attack someone in the next zone over and everything. But basically, if you do that, you completely trash the zone you're in, which means it can't be wrecked again. It can only be done once. So there is a limiting factor there. And then you can also place a marker which will show which zones are wrecked. And that will also be it will paint a picture when playing the game of, we're really wrecking this place up now. And then you will actually lose some, what we call karma points, because if you're a very, good superhero, you're not supposed to, wreck things too much. Yeah. So there's actually a little bit of a drawback if you do that too much and wreck everything, because then you lose a little bit of these bonus sort of experience points.
I do love consequences like that. That's great.
So there's a consequence to it if you do it too much, but then it's also a good benefit in the moment. So that's why you might want to do that sometimes.
Definitely a lot more to combat. Very similar to other things where you have a full action and quick action. That's a pretty common feature to Year Zero engine games. Critical injuries, this is where you get into the very invincible flavor of the thing, from everything from a torn suit to your body gets torn in half.
Pretty much. No, there we really wanted to go for this feeling that what goes on in the comic book and the animated series also. So critical hits are, and there, the way we built that is you when you go down, like the first time, if you go to zero health, you probably won't take a super serious critical injury. You probably take a lower one, but then it's fairly easy to get up. You need to make a presence roll and you can sort of pull yourself back up again and get back into the fight. But if you take a second critical hit, it's going to always be worse than the first one. And if you go down again, you can still get up and fight again, but then the third one is going to be even worse. And that's when you get into the really serious ones. So it's really a choice when you go down, whether you stay down or you get up again and fight some more. But then, you know, if I get to go down again, it's going to be worse than the last time. And then if you're unlucky, you might, you know, be completely, you know, torn apart. So it's that sense of, you know, getting back up into the fight again, but this time it's going to hurt even more than last time. And that I think captures what you see in the comics and the animated show as well.
Yeah, like I do like that. It's one of my favorite mechanics from Dragonbane too. It's similar to the rallying in Dragonbane, yeah, but a little bit more involved. So I do like that. So that's a great feature of it. Now, as far as I've had folks ask me about taking some of what you built into this and using it in other games. Is that something you've thought about and like taking some of these powers and finding a way to use that in future Freely games?
Yeah, I mean, that's sort of the way thing. I mean, obviously the rules here are very much tailored to a superhero situation, and even more for Invincible itself, but any superhero game. So these rules might not work for, you know, a completely different game with a completely different setting and everything. But yeah, in general, when we do develop a new system, a new version of the Zero engine and do new things, usually that informs something else and we get ideas, and then it's like, oh, this might actually work in that other new game that we're doing. So sure, some things can carry over for sure, but then again, we always also try to adapt each rule set to the specific game and genre that we're doing.
Great. I think that answers the question. So my last thing before I let you go is I noticed that with this game, you're doing standees again and more maps. So because a lot of the games from Free League can be done theater of the mind, but this really seems to enforce kind of the kind of classic superhero trope with using
miniatures. Yeah, I think so. I mean, you can play it theater of mind. I think since it's a zone system, it's fairly easy. It's not like grids and things. You don't calculate movement exactly. It's fairly freewheeling. But yeah, and that's also to some extent inspired by the old TSR Marvel game that had these beautiful city maps, and they had these triangular little standee thingies that you glued together. And just having that big cityscape and, you know, standing on rooftops and flying around between the buildings, and that's something I really wanted to capture here as well. So we are doing something similar. So there's going to be a big city map, which is like the big map of the game, with a number of blocks and different types of urban environments. There's a park, okay, there's a harbor, there's all kinds of stuff. And then that's in the starter set. So that's coming in the starter set. And that map will be used in the starter set adventure, but it's also, the idea is that since it's a general urban area, you can use it for other adventures as well. And there are other maps on the flip side of that. And then you have these standees for the characters in the starter set, but also a few more. So that's at least I think that kind of play and using standees and maps works really well for a superhero game like this.
Okay. Well, really thank you for your time. Are there anything that is there anything that we didn't cover that you'd like to call out about the Kickstarter?
I don't know. I mean, we're getting some questions about solo rules. That's something we're thinking about. And if we, I think if we get through the current stretch goals that we have, I think solo rules could fairly likely pop up in the next batch. So that's entirely something we're definitely looking into and would like to do. So that might be worth mentioning. But yeah, otherwise I think we covered quite a bit of ground. Yeah. So
yeah, those rapid fire questions.
Yeah, sure. That's great.
Oh, a personal thing. Are you going to PAX Unplugged?
I wish I were. No, I can't go to PAX. We'll be there. And we'll even launch Alien there. It's going to be Alien Evolved. It's going to be, and Raptor Protocol will be there.
Okay.
So that's definitely worth going to and checking it out. You can play it there also. So yeah, I wish I could go, but not this year. Hopefully next year.
All right. Well, again, thank you so much for your time, Thomas. It's always a pleasure talking to you.
Absolutely. And
best of luck with this Kickstarter.
Yeah, thank you. All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye.